Blog Talk Radio.
Show. Stokers and Beer is broadcasting live from WBST Chula Vista, California. WBS Chula Vista, California. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. That translates to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. East Coast time. All right. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show. We talk a lot about the NBA. We talk a lot about Major League Baseball. We have breaking news and scores from National Hockey League and other U.S. sports. But at the same time, we talk about horse racing, dog racing, camel racing, water polo, track and field, whatever sport you want to call in and talk about, hot dog eating contest, pie eating contest, anything that comes across the monitor as a sport or a contest, we will talk about it. If we don't know about the sport you love, you can teach us about it. If you don't know about the sport that we like, and that we're talking about, we can teach you about it. So this is an all-inclusive radio talk show. If you'd like to call into the show and debate me on anything I'm talking about or comment on anything that I'm talking about, call in the area code 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. All you have to do is put your hand up in queue, and I'll come to you. If you don't put your hand up in queue, I'll just let you listen, and I won't bother you. But if you put your hand up in queue, I'll come to you. Just announce your first initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling from. We like to keep everything discreet on this show, just in case you're supposed to be at work instead and not being on my radio show. And in case you need to be out going to get groceries and everything like that and doing your honey-do list, we don't want you to be get caught by using your full name and all that good stuff. So we like to keep everybody's identity anonymous on the show. So, again, if I come to you, put your hand up in queue, I'll come to you, announce your first name, I'm sorry, your first initial, last initial, and the state you're calling from. All right, with that being said, now that we all know how the show works, today's topic is NBA Western Conference Finals, Game 2. The hosts will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global streaming audience. Topics covered but not limited to will be NBA Heat versus Celtics and Lakers versus Nuggets. Scores and breaking news for NFL, MLB, NHL, and NCAA men's and women's baseball and softball. So that's the topic for today. Again, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferrant, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Topic for today is NBA Western Conference Finals Game 2. All right, let's get into it. Last night, we'll start off from last night. We had a big game from Jimmy Butler last night. He was able to wheel his Miami Heat basketball team. Excuse me, people. I was drinking some coffee and was having some issues there talking. But forgive me. Anyway, last night, Jimmy Butler was able to wheel his team to victory over the Boston Celtics. And they're asking on the monitor, most to blame for game one loss. He defeat the Celtics 123-116. Game two will be tomorrow at 8:30 Eastern on the monitor. You can check your monitor for the channels that it's going to be showing on. But the game is set for tomorrow, game two for the Eastern Conference Finals for 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern time. But yesterday, the Heat defeated the Celtics 123-116. Jimmy Butler did lead his team to victory. So there's, you know, this morning they're saying like they're always saying about Jason Tatum, basically saying that he's not the alpha dog of the team. He's not the leader of the team because he can't put the team on his shoulders in clutch time and just take the game over. You know, he can't do that every game or whatever. It's Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is the one that comes to the rescue when the team is struggling. So they're having concern over whether Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown is the leader of this team. I feel like Jason Tatum is the leader of this team, but the bottom line is when it's all said and done, sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes it's just hard for a guy to get up for every game. That's why it's that basketball is a team sport, but at the same time, one man can dominate the game. One man can influence a basketball game. It's not like football. Football is the ultimate team sport, in my opinion. Football is the ultimate team sport because, you know, you got 11 men. If you're quarterback, you still got 11 men on the other side to deal with. If your offensive line is not blocking, if a receiver can't get open, your play is affected. In basketball, it's 5-on-5. And you know, sometimes a guy is so good, even if you double-team him or triple-team him, he still can score on you. So what people are looking for, I think, I don't want to say us pro-armchair quarterbacks. I'll say people in mainstream media, people on the monitor, in the media business, they're trying to basically say that Jaylen Brown is the guy that you go to in a clutch situation. So why do they need Tatum and Brown on this team? Is it time for the Boston Celtics up? I say it's not time to break them up because it works. I don't care if I'm an owner or a general manager. I don't care who shows up to win. As long as some nights it might be Tatum, some nights it might be Brown. What difference does it make? These are both highly skilled players, and whoever's up one night, take over. Whoever ain't, don't. When it comes down to who, in my opinion, is going to be that alpha dog most of the time, who's the recognizable face for the team, that's going to be Jason Tatum, and that's why you pay him the big bucks. At the same time, Jaylen Brown deserves to be paid as well because he's a great support role. He's a great, I don't call him like a Batman. Some people like these Batman and Robin. I don't say that. I just say you got Superman and you got Batman. And some nights, Batman is Jason Tatum. Last night, he was Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown was Superman. And I'm saying that because, you know, Jason Tatum had 30 points, 7 rebounds, 6 points, no field goals. And so when it comes down to it, you know, he had a good game. Jason Tatum had a good game, but he had 3 turnovers. He had 3 turnovers in the fourth quarter. That's what it said across the monitor. Jason Tatum had 30 points, 7 rebounds, 6 points, field goals, 3 turnovers in the fourth quarter. How much responsibility does Tatum bear for the game one loss? He beat the Celtics 123-116. Miami's up 1-0. I don't want to put the blame on Tatum. He did have 3 big turnovers. But at the same time, when I look at the box score, he had 30 points. So, I mean, I think that they just got beat. I mean, that is a professional basketball team they were playing last night. That's a professional basketball team led by Eric Spoelstra, general manager, Pat Riley, or team president, whatever he is. You know, I mean, look at the pedigree over there. Spoelstra won with LeBron James. Spoelstra has taken this team to the NBA Finals in the bubble, and they lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, it's not like they playing some kind of bum. We're talking about a team that just put out the New York Knicks, who had a great season. We're talking about a team that's an 8 seed that had to survive in the play-in tournament. I think they had to beat Toronto and a couple others. But these guys, man, you know, quit looking at it like people in the mainstream media. Quit looking at it like stirring up all this problem for the Boston Celtics. These guys got a good squad. That's why they're at where they're at. That's why they're the number 2 seed in the doggone East. I think the Bucks were number 1 in the East. I think Boston is number 2. They're saying across the monitor, again, he defeats the Celtics 123-116. I like to keep throwing my scores out there. Where does Butler rank among remaining stars? Jimmy Butler from Miami had 31.5. He's having 31.5 points a game. There you go. These other statistics. I don't want to get all off into the statistics, but, you know, he's averaging about 31 points a game. Where does he rank among remaining stars? Honestly, not that high, in my opinion. When you start using the word star, I say not that high as a star. I say as high as a leader. Oh, yeah. He ranks up there at the top, as the top leader on a basketball team. And let me clarify what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I never look at Jimmy Butler like he's trying to be a star. He just seems to me like a guy that's trying to be about his business. I don't see him out. I mean, I've seen him on a couple of things. Michelob got him endorsed in their product on Michelob, or think Michelob Ultra or something like that, if I'm correct. I know he has a beer endorsement, if I'm remembering right. But Jimmy is not that guy that's just out there. Just like out there, like, you know, hey, I'm trying to be the guy. I just don't see him as like that mega star. That's not what I see him as. So, but as a leader, he ranks up there top as a leader. But if they're looking at star as far as leader, if that's the way they're looking at it, star versus leader, if they're using that term interchangeably, he's up there with everybody else. I mean, this man can take over a game.
he can take over a game. I just have a problem when they use the word star, because I just don't see Jimmy Butler trying to be that guy. Like, you know, I got to be – I'm the guy that got to be standing out. I think it just seems like he's the ultimate team guy. Like, we got to win. I've never seen him or never heard of him being the type of athlete that was you know, just like it's all about me. I gotta get paid. I think his moves in the game was because the people he was playing with didn't want to win. Like, I think when he was in Philadelphia, he was just like, if I don't remember right, he was in Philly, he was just like, these guys don't want to win. They don't want to win. You know, we're not playing to our maximum potential. Then that he got up out of there, and went I think from Philadelphia. Where did he go? Did he go to the Timberwolves, or I can't remember his journey. But I think he was with Chicago Bulls first. Then from the Bulls, he went to Philly or the Timberwolves or somewhere. And then, you know, I know he wound up, of course, where he at now. But I just think he's always been the type of guy. If y'all don't want to win, I'm out. You guys got to want to win. Do I blame him? No. You know, you know when you see potential, we all NBA basketball players. We all made it to this level. I just see him as being the type of guy that's just like, hey, I ain't here to be a star. I'm here to basically lead my team to victory. I'm here to man up my troops so we can go to war. And that's what I like about Butler. That's what I like about him. You know, so if they're using the term, you know, where does he rank amongst the stars, as far as stars interchangeably with leader, oh, yeah, he's up there with all the rest of them. He's up there with LeBron James. He's up there with KD and whoever else. You know, but they say saying stars that's remaining in there. So that's going to be Butler, LeBron, Tatum or Brown, and then you got one more doggone Nikola Jokic, you know. So when you look at LeBron James, Jokic, and then you look at Tatum or Brown, Jimmy Butler is right there amongst those names. He's right there. He's doing the same thing, and he's already got a win in the Eastern Conference Finals. He's gotten Game One up under his belt, and they did that. I'm trying to figure out where they beat them. They were in Boston last night. They were in Boston last night. He took one on the road in Boston. He led his team to victory in Boston. He had, you know, getting about 30, like they say, averaging 31 a game. So, and he can easily drop to one of 56, whatever, if he needs to do that. So, you know, I'm just, you know, I think he's right up there with everybody else. But going back to the Boston Celtics and the game last night, Tatum did have three turnovers in the fourth quarter. But if you got three turnovers in the fourth quarter, that must mean you're trying to – that must mean you either you got the ball in your hand trying to make something happen. And I believe – because I saw the game, I believe that's what it was. He had the ball in his hand trying to make a couple passes, trying to make something happen. I think that it just – you know, the guy's playing basketball, people. He's on the court. He's trying to make something happen, and he had some turnovers. If I'm correct, they were – I think I saw a pass. A pass turnover, I think, and I think he might have just lost the ball, something. I can't remember off the top of my head, so I don't want to quote how his turnovers happened, so let me take that back. Let me take that back, because I like to be factual on my show. He did have three turnovers in the fourth quarter. Okay, so what? Things happen. He'll correct it. But to say that, okay, well, he don't need to be the leader of the team. It needs to be – the ball needs to be in Jaylen Brown's hand, or – Jaylen Brown should be getting paid the most money, or they need to ship Tatum out of there and keep Brown, and then let Brown and Smart, you know, do their Batman and Robin thing. I say leave the Boston Celtics alone. Anybody can lose a game. This is a series. So long as it's a series, you know, these guys got a chance to win. But tonight we got the NBA Western Conference Finals game two. And that's consisting of Jokic and Murray against LeBron and AD. And I'm going to be honest with you, people, it's 50-50. This series is 50-50. The Lakers can easily go up in Denver like they did the other night and win again, and come up with a win. the other night, they almost came out of there with a win, and I was expecting them to get blowed out, at least in Denver, and at least a six-game series anyway. But right now, the way both of these teams are playing, this can go seven games, and the Lakers can easily come out on top in this matchup. The Lakers can easily come out on top. So all I'm saying is that the Lakers right now are playing good basketball. They're saying they're the number one defense in the league. So, and I like what LeBron James is doing, because what he's doing with a bunch of role players. All these guys that they got, let's say Rui Hachimura, Vanderbilt, D'Lo, these guys, and whoever else they picked up. These guys, even if they started on the teams that they got traded from, these guys were not stars. These guys are role players, support players, bench players. And LeBron James is doing it with AD, of course, but they're doing this. AD is the only other star, in my opinion, on their team. Russell Westbrook's gone. But and then sometimes AD, if his game is off, LeBron James is still stepping in there and leading this team. But he's leading this team with the Anthony Davis, who's a star but kind of fragile, kind of gets hurt a lot, and sometimes his game is off. But LeBron James is leading this team with predominantly role players and bench players, no superstars besides AD. But to AD's credit, he played a hell of a game the other night, played good defense on Jokic. I think his height is going to always give Jokic problems. But what they did was they found somebody else, another enforcer out there in Rui Hachimura. They found an enforcer out there. And they said, Rui, you're going to have to step up, man, and you're going to have to hold Jokic. You're going to have to do what you can with Jokic, because we're going to have to get AD out there on defense. You're going to have to defend. You're going to have to shut down Jamal Murray and whoever else is trying to handle the ball. He's going to have to get out there and play D on them. And that in that system, it looks like it worked, because at the end of the day, the Lakers came all the way back. They didn't lose their game by much. They didn't lose their game by much. It was tight all the way up until the last minute of that game. And they came all the way back storming, and at the time, they were down about 16, 20 points. I thought they was going to get beat by 30. But they wouldn't go away. They would not go away. So I like what I'm seeing in the West. And that Western Conference Finals, that's champions. That's a champ. That's almost a finals. Sometimes I just wish they wouldn't even do conference versus conference, just like, you know, whoever the top two teams, you know, win. You can get conference, whoever got the most wins in your conference, you could be named conference champion. But I wish sometimes some of these games are just like, at the end of the day, when you do a tournament, just do a big tournament, and whoever wins the tournament wins, because like this Western Conference Finals, that's like a finals to me. This is a finals. The Eastern Conference Finals with the Heat and the Celtics, I don't know. I mean, it's more of a grinded out type of contest. It's more blue collar to me. More, who's tough? Who's the toughest? You know, who can take it? Who can take rough play? But when you're looking at the West, it's like finesse. It's like white collar. It's just straight finesse. You know, it's all about the shooting. Their shooting is so superb, because Jokic don't miss. Excuse me, people. Late night dog's a little bit tired. He's been up late night. Obviously, that's why I'm yawning. My apologies. I was yawning on air. Forgive me. But I'm still here. But, yeah, like I said, it's more like in the West, it's a lot of superb shooting. Just shooters. Guys are shooting the ball. Guys are putting the ball in the hole. I think that in the East, it's kind of different. It's kind of like grind it out type of play, even though they're putting the ball in the hole too, but it looks different. The pace is different, and the excitement is different too to me. Maybe because Jokic is doing so, is like his play is so phenomenal, and he got the heart of all the fans in Denver, and they're showing up for them. They're excited to be in this position, the fans in Denver. And then, you know, you got the Lakers from L.A., from Hollywood. I mean, you know, everybody happy to see LeBron James and the Lakers come to town. I think the West is just like the notoriety. The West is exciting. It's just like it feels like the finals already in the West. The East to me feels more like a conference championship. I don't know why. You can call in and comment on that or debate me. 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. You can call in and debate me about what I'm talking about. For those of you just tuning in, again, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. But, yeah, we'll be going into a music break here in a minute. So, wait, Late Night Dog can wear the stroke and do what he needs to do. But, you know, we got a great show today. Glad for all of you guys. Thankful for all of you guys that are out there tuning in and streaming in to this episode, or will stream this episode later. I can't really see how many people that I have actually streaming this show. I can only participate with you and see what's going on when you actually call in to the show. I can see you there, dialed in, but I can't see if your other people are streaming. But anyway, yeah, you know, it's just a lot of excitement in the West. A lot of excitement in the West. And this game is going down tonight, 5:30 time tonight, and 8:30 Eastern for the Lakers versus Nuggets tonight on the monitor. You know, you can check your local listings and find out what channel it's on. I try to, if you notice on my show, I try not to really throw out a lot of credits to people unless I'm reading something that someone wrote. So on my show, I won't say the game is on TNT, ESPN. I don't give free publicity. They don't need my help doing that. So I just say, you know, check your local listings, check your monitor, meaning your TV, and see what time the game is coming on. Or you can log in on those certain platforms online and find out when the game is coming on and what channels and all that stuff. But I do know that these games are set up to be played at about 5:30 Pacific and this 8:30 Eastern. And that's what time the game with the Lakers and the Nuggets will be on tonight. And yours truly will be tuned in. Which duo will have a better game too? Lakers at the Nuggets tonight, 8:30 Eastern. Denver leads the series 1-0. Which duo will have a better game too? Will it be Jokic and Murray? Will it be LeBron James and Anthony Davis? Which duo is gonna do it tonight in game two? I'm gonna bet on Jokic and Murray again. Hopefully, Jamal Murray is up to snuff, as they used to say back in the day. Hopefully, he's up to speed, up to snuff, because they're gonna need him tonight. He had a great game the other night. I think he hit 30 points the other night, 30 points, 31 points the other night, and he was not feeling well. So he got like some kind of sickness going on. It's not COVID related, but he hasn't been feeling well. So hopefully he was able to get some rest, recover, and he'll be ready tonight, because they're going to need him. Jokic can't do it by himself. Everybody on Denver has to come to play, just like everybody for the Lakers got to come play. This Western Conference Finals, it's a doozy. It's something else. I mean, that's why I'm just telling you guys, you know, it just seemed like that should be the finals right there. But however it goes, whoever comes out of the West, whoever comes out of the East, they're going to put on a great show as well. The finals are going to be a great show, of course. So either you're going to have Boston and L.A., which is a classic rivalry, and they had a controversial game earlier in the season. Will LeBron James was fouled, and they didn't call it, and he kind of got a little upset out there. I think there was the Pat Bev game where we got the camera from the guy in the crowd and was trying to show the referee the foul, and I think he wound up getting ticked up. But that's kind of like a preview of what that series would look like.
or you'll have Jokic again. And, you know, that's going to be exciting because you're going to have supreme shooting, and then you're going to have the other side. You'll have supreme shooting from Denver, but then you're going to have that some shooting and some physical toughness on defense with the Boston Celtics. I think Joe Mazzulla, and I apologize, Joe, for forgetting your name yesterday, Joe Mazzulla, the new coach that took over for Ime Udoka, I think he's still running that same type of defensive toughness. He got the team playing with defensive toughness, whether they win or lose. I think Ime Udoka brought that when he was over there, but I think Joe Mazzulla has kept that same mentality with these guys, tough defense, being tough on defense. So when it all comes down, when it's all said and done, you know, that's going to be the Celtics versus the Nuggets can be an exciting game because I think they're going to slow down some of the shooting from at least Jamal Murray and some of the supporting cast. Jokic, it ain't much you can do with him. He's going to find a way. He'll find a way. He'll always find a way to get his. He's going to always find a way to get his. So that can be an exciting final. And let's look at the Lakers and the Heat. We've already saw that before. Lakers and the Heat, you know, I think the Lakers gave them a gentleman sweep 4-1, pushing it maybe a semi-gentleman sweep 4-2. You know, I think they beat them in five or six games. I know they didn't totally sweep them. It was more like a gentleman sweep or a semi-gentleman sweep. But we see what they look like in the bubble. We see how they all match up. And they have Jimmy Butler. I don't know. I can't remember if Kyle Lowry was with them at the time when they were in the bubble. I don't think so. I don't think he was with the Heat then. But they had Jimmy Butler, and if I'm correct, Bam Adebayo was definitely there. So they had them, and then they had AD and they had LeBron. So we see how that went. Lakers came out on top. So we kind of got an idea of what that looks like from the bubble. But with the crowd behind each team, it could be a totally different turnout. Because the Miami Heat crowd, you know, they want another title too. You know, the days of LeBron James, you know. And then that key factor right there, just with LeBron James coming back to South Beach when he brought them two titles, you know, if I'm correct, two or three titles, him coming back trying to steal one from them, that's going to be a storyline, of course. And if we look at who else we got here, I'm just doing matchups for the finals, how does it look? Or if you have the Heat against the Denver Nuggets, how would that look? Again, I think it'll be the same type of thing. If the Nuggets played the Celtics, you know, it'd be more. They'll try to shut down. They'll try to do their best to shut down Jamal Murray and the supporting cast, and Jokic will still be able to do his thing. When you put the Nuggets against either the Heat or the Boston Celtics, I feel like it just comes down to who's going to be the toughest as far as grinding out a win defensively. Who's going to be the toughest defensively to try to grind out a win? Because Jokic is going to get here, but it's going to have to come down to whether it's Adebayo and Butler or whether it's Tatum and Brown and Smart trying to shut down the supporting cast of the Denver Nuggets, meaning Jamal Murray and the others, Jamal Murray, Brown, and all of them. They're going to have to shut those guys down. Jokic is unstoppable. He's going to get his. That's one guy I wouldn't be focusing on. I would just let him get his. Do what you can do with him. Try to disrupt the shot, but I wouldn't get in foul trouble trying to hold him because he's too long. He's too long, too big, too skilled. He has good footwork, just everything that he do. I mean, and then he can bring the ball up like a point guard, and he's playing center, but he can bring the ball up, dish the ball. The guy's all-around game is great. I don't care who playing them, just like tonight. I was just like they did. They put Rui Hachimura on Jokic. Rui, do what you can do with him. Disrupt him. Don't get in foul trouble. Do what you can do with him.
But if you get in foul trouble, it's okay. We just got to pull another body off the bench and put him on him. I don't know if there will be Vanderbilt or whoever else. I think Vanderbilt got a little height on him. But my whole thing is, you know, when you talk about Rui Hachimura just got to go in there and just try to do what he can with him, disrupt him, don't make it easy for him, but don't get in foul trouble because they need you on the court. And then that way, like I said, like they did the last time, AD was able to get out there and, you know, try to put some D on Jamal Murray and on some other supporting cast members and help them be able to fight back in the game. And they fought all the way back. So if I'm Darvin Ham, I'm probably using the same format and the same formula as I did that time. All right, we're going to go off into a music mix real quick, get a quick station break in real quick. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. We're going to go off into a music mix real quick. Stand by. We'll be right back. host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer radio show. Let's get off into some baseball scores from yesterday. We got the Pirates over the Tigers, 8-0. Pirates take the game, 8-0 over the Detroit Tigers. We got the L.A. Dodgers. They win 7-3 over the Minnesota Twins. That's not good for my division. I'm a Padre fan. Los Angeles Dodgers, 7-3 over the Minnesota Twins. Then we got the Colorado Rockies winners, 11-6 over the Cincinnati Reds. Colorado Rockies winners, 11-3 over the Cincinnati Reds. Let's see what else we got here. We got the Oakland Athletics. They fell to the Arizona Diamondbacks, 5-3. Arizona Diamondbacks winners, 5-3 over the Oakland Athletics. What else we got here? We got the San Francisco Giants winners, 7-4 over the Philadelphia Phillies. San Francisco Giants winners, 7-4 over the Philadelphia Phillies. That's not good for me either, because that means they won and the Padres lost. Padres dropped one to the Kansas City Royals. Kansas City Royals winners, 4-3 over the San Diego Padres. That's not good. We've lost, I believe. Out of our last 11 games, we've only won 2 games in San Diego. So, again, Kansas City Royals, winners, 4-3 over the San Diego Padres. Let's go, Padres. Let's pick it up. Let's go, Padres. Pick it up. Then we have the Baltimore Orioles, winners, 3-1 over the Anaheim Angels. Baltimore Orioles, winners, 3-1 over the Anaheim Angels. I'm quite sure my number one sports contributor, D.C., out there in Maryland. I'm quite sure he's jumping for joy over that. If you tune into the show yesterday, you heard him say he had the game on record on his DVR. Then we got the Florida Marlins, winners, 4-3 over the Nationals. Marlins, winners, 4-3 over the Washington Nationals, or the Washington Nationals, whichever one they like to go by. If anybody follows some of the stuff on the monitor, they know what I mean by Nationals versus Nationals. And then we got the Toronto Blue Jays winners, 3-0 over the New York Yankees. Toronto Blue Jays winners, 3-0 over the New York Yankees. They had some stuff going on yesterday. I still got to get to the bottom of it. Yesterday, somebody got suspended for doing something yesterday. I got to still get to the bottom of that story with the Yankees and the Blue Jays from yesterday. Then we got the Boston Red Sox winners, 12-3 over the Seattle Mariners. Boston Red Sox winners, 12-3 over the Seattle Mariners. Then we got the New York Mets winners, 8-7 over the Tampa Bay Rays. New York Mets winners, 8-7 over the Tampa Bay Rays. We got the St. Louis Cardinals winners, 3-0 over the Milwaukee Brewers. St. Louis Cardinals winners, 3-0 over the Milwaukee Brewers. We got the Atlanta Braves winners, 6-5 over the Texas Rangers. Atlanta Braves winners, 6-5 over the Texas Rangers. Then we got the Houston Astros winners, 7-6 over the Chicago Cubs. Houston Astros winners, 7-6 over the Chicago Cubs. And last but not least, we have the Chicago White Sox winners, 7-2 over the Cleveland Guardians. Chicago White Sox winners, 7-2 over the Cleveland Guardians. So we have all that. Those are our baseball scores. Let's see what's going on for NHL. Their playoffs, I believe, start tonight. And I think these are the first games. I don't think they started play yet. But let me just double check that. Excuse the clicking. I'm trying to work my board here. So tonight we have 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We got the Florida Panthers going at it with the Hurricanes. Florida Panthers going at it with the Hurricanes. So Panthers and Hurricanes, 5 p.m. That's going to be for the Eastern Conference final, East Final Game 1. So they'll be going at it. And then I know Dallas should be playing on Friday. Then we can, let's see if that, yep, Dallas Stars, my Dallas Stars. Let's go, Dallas. That's been my adopted team for a while. Dallas Stars going at it against the Golden Knights, which is another one of my adopted teams, but I got to go with my team I've been rolling with for a long time, Dallas Stars. So Dallas Stars, I've been a Stars fan since about 1996. So, and one of my sergeants in the military got me watching them because he kind of bogarted the TV one day and said, hey, NHL playoffs coming on. I'm watching Dallas Stars. That's my team, and I'm not gonna miss it. So he bogarted the TV and let everybody know, don't touch the TV when the Dallas Stars come on to play. So Dallas Stars been my team for a while, but they're gonna be going at it in a contest for the West Final Game One. Stars against the Golden Knights. Stars against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. That'll be 5:30 p.m. Pacific in 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be on Friday, May 19th. That's going to be on Friday. Let's see what else we got here. In soccer today, the city of San Diego, we had a big announcement in soccer today. We're going to be announcing our men's MLS. Well, for men's soccer, everybody know MLS is for the guys. San Diego has a women's team, the Northwest Soccer League. I'm sorry, the National Women's Soccer League. That's what the NW stands for, the National Women's Soccer League. We have the San Diego Waves here. That's our women's team. And then we also have a USL team here, the San Diego Loyal. We have the San Diego Loyal. They're here as our USL team. But we have a big announcement today. We're going to be having a big announcement in San Diego. We're going to be getting a new team, I think, for next year for MLS, Major League Soccer. And they're going to be announcing the team, showing the team colors and announcing the team name. We're going to be getting a new MLS team in soccer here in San Diego, California. San Diego is one of these weird cities to where major sports don't do very well here. Like that's why the you know, ticket sales and stuff like that were low here for the San Diego Clippers when they were here. They moved to LA, and then the San Diego Chargers, they wound up moving to LA years later. But major sports don't do well here. San Diego is one of these weird cities to where we get off into our soccer, our lacrosse, indoor soccer, like the San Diego Soccers, they do well here as our indoor soccer league. The I think our USL soccer team, they do pretty good. Our women's soccer team, they do pretty good. Our rugby team, the San Diego Legion, they do good. And speaking of rugby, if you I know football players are big, but if you go stand by some of these rugby players, and I've worked some security work behind the scenes for a rugby tournament where they had rugby teams all over the place came to San Diego one year, and they were playing out at UCSD out here at the university, and it was packed. It was packed with people, and these rugby players, man, I'm telling you, they consisted of a lot of Samoan guys, Pacific Islanders, and a lot of New Zealand guys, and even the Americans, whether you were black, white, or whatever, they were big. I mean, these rugby players are huge. They're huge. And I'm like, I was just thinking last night, I wouldn't want to get hit by any of them, especially with no pads on. You know, but I know our football players are just as big, but I'm just saying, a lot of people don't really realize these rugby players, they're huge, and they're out there hitting with no pads on. So they're taking a lot of more punishment than football players because they're out there hitting with no pads. But what I did like about rugby is they have it set up to where it's a safe zone to tackle, you know, when you hit going head on with somebody. It's sort of like how football has changed it, you know, as well, so people don't have neck injuries. There's a rugby, I know that they do the same thing, if I'm correct. But anyway. San Diego, we're going to be announcing in soccer our MLS team. They built a new stadium, Snapdragon Stadium. That's where the San Diego Aztecs are playing. and that's where I think the National Women's Soccer League, the San Diego Waves team, they're playing at Snapdragon, and I believe the reason why they built Snapdragon mainly was for the San Diego Aztecs football team, and that they had plans to bring in an MLS team. That's why they were going through this big controversy on Qualcomm Stadium, tearing it down, doing this, doing that. They're supposed to put a stadium on that site. That didn't work out. And so, you know, they built Snapdragon Stadium somewhere else. Well, I'm incorrect on that. I'm not factually correct. They did tear down Qualcomm Stadium and built and they did put this new Snapdragon Stadium on that site. So I'm incorrect on that. But if you want to call in and talk to me or debate me about anything or correct me about anything, definitely call into the show. And the show call in line again is going to be area code 515-602-9687. But yeah. I'd like to apologize if I'm going in and out on my mic. Hopefully everything is sounding okay and the quality is better. Because before I slowed down, took a break from the show, you know, when I take a break, the show has to take a break, unfortunately. That's why I was trying to get some interns in here, people that wanted to come in and contribute to the show for credit and everything. But I had one guy called in, but he didn't quite follow through. But when it all comes down to it, when I take a break, the show has to take a break, unfortunately. That's why I tell people in business a lot of times, don't just be one person, because if you get sick, your business is going to suffer. Entrepreneurship is not a good thing. It's a good thing as far as owning your own business. But when you run a business, you have to have players that's in with it. Have to have people that's in with you. So I don't know. You have to have people that want to work with you. But when you can't get people to work with you, you can't. As they say, one person don't stop the show. One person don't stop the show. So I'm gonna keep on doing what I'm doing till I get some people that want to come on the airways and contribute. Like I said, I wish I had a news desk editor, news desk director rather. To come on with the news every 30 minutes, and then I wish I had like a DJ to come in with some smooth jazz, but I haven't been able to fill the music director position or the news director position, so it's just me as the host. And I was also looking for some additional sports contributors for the show. I was just kind of like saying all that, letting everybody know that's kind of like why I've been off air for a little while. I need to take a break and just deal with some stuff in another business that I'm building and everything like that. I was in the process of building a website, buying products, marketing products, getting marketing material, business cards, T-shirts, and all that stuff out in the street, promoting all kind of stuff for this new business that I'm doing. But that's not sports related. But anyway, we're back. We're back in full effect. And anybody that wants to tune into the show, we're back on Mondays through Thursdays. So today is actually my Friday, so I won't be on tomorrow. I don't do anything on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but we'll be back on Monday with our next show and all the exciting action from the NBA over the weekend. You know, all of the scores and breaking news and excitement, because this is NBA Western Conference, Eastern Conference Finals time. So we'll be back on Monday with all that. We still have one more hour to go here. And hour number two, I'm going to be jumping off into some free agency stuff for pro developmental football or minor league football, however you want to say it. I have a company called Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service, where basically what I do is I take athletes' film and resume, and I send it out to different coaches and everything to try to get them an opportunity if they're no more than 2 years removed from their last college game. They don't necessarily have to be graduated, but they have to, their eligibility to play pro has to be over with. So I get them placed on teams in like the Indoor Football League, National Arena League, and try to get them film so they can try, you know, have some film if they go for a tryout or a workout for the XFL or the USFL, which everybody know last year the USFL put about 80, anywhere from 60 to 80 guys in training camps. And then this year, the XFL put in about, last number I checked, I know they've had about at least 20 guys that's got invited recently to training camp. The other day, it was like 11. Before the championship, they had about 5 guys getting invited. So, you know, some of those guys are returners back to the league and just show that they should be back there. I think that's what mainly the NFL model is. If you were already in camp before, if you were in a full camp before and got cut, or you was in the league and got hurt and then, you know, got cut or released, the USFL and XFL is great opportunities to get a look on TV and get brought back in. Now, I don't know how well it works for guys that have never – that came coming out of college, they didn't play in the NFL. I don't really know how that works. I just noticed that for a lot of stuff that I see, it's kind of like if you played in the Canadian Football League, you'll get a shot to come back. If you played in the NFL, you'll get a shot to come back. If you get in some of these leagues that are playing on TV like the USFL, XFL, or whatever. So that's a great thing for free agents, whether you know a free agent that got cut from the NFL team or you just a free agent that moved up from like the indoor football league, playing ball overseas or whatever the case may be, and you just got an opportunity to play on TV. So, you know, either way it go, the spring leagues, spring pro football is an opportunity to move, to get back to where you came from if you played in the CFL or the NFL. But as far as all those guys that came from small schools, like Division II schools and below in football, a great place to start playing at is the Champions Indoor Football League, the Indoor Football League, the National Arena League. Those are 3 great places to start. Fan Control Football was a good one as well when they were here. And they had a big platform, but they didn't play this spring. I think they took a year off to get some things revamped. They was talking about playing in the fall, but I guess they just looked at it and said that probably won't be good trying to compete with the NFL. So they probably just said, hey, we'll just start over from scratch next spring, which is fine. You know, sometimes these leagues have to take off budget, you know, have to get these budgets right, have to get these contracts right for these leases in these stadiums and arenas and all this stuff. Well, for indoor football, it's always going to be an arena, usually a hockey rink or something similar. But again, breaking news today for us that live in San Diego, we're going to have our announcement, team colors, team announcement for the Major League Soccer. We're going to be having a new team here being unveiled. We'll know what the name of the team is going to be and everything like that. So I think it's going to do good. We'll be playing against the guys, I guess, from the L.A. Gold, or the L.A. something. I think it's 2 MLS teams up in L.A. I know it's definitely one, but I know it's 2 soccer teams up there. One might be USL, I don't know, but I thought they had 2 MLS teams. So I'm assuming that they'll be coming down here playing us, and we'll be going up there playing them in MLS soccer for the guys. Funny thing, I was even listening to the TV today, and to the monitor today, and they were saying that the women do so great here in the National Women's Soccer League. They do great here because the National Women's Soccer League is the most popular women's soccer league. The National Women's Soccer League is the most popular soccer league for the women, but MLS is not the most popular soccer league for the men. That's all those teams in Europe. That's all those teams in Europe, all those clubs in Europe. That's where these guys for MLS obviously are trying to go. But MLS, it is a great pro platform, but they were saying, well, are we going to be able to is the owner going to be able to attract international athletes to come over and play for this new team in San Diego? And I think they said that the owner, his concept is he's just going to build his team. He's going to build his team from what he can build it from and just put out a good product, basically, rather than trying to pay a star. And I can understand that because San Diego is a hard place to live and even harder place to do business, especially when you're talking about leasing of land. Leasing of land meaning a lease of a soccer stadium, a soccer stadium, and that and Snapdragon Stadium was built for that sport. It was built definitely for to play soccer in. That was said when they first started. So, good luck to that new franchise here in San Diego, and hopefully they'll do good things. We're gonna take a quick station break here, and we'll be right back. This is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it live in the early morning. Stand by. We'll be back. Yes, welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about horse racing, dog racing, camel racing, pie eating contests, hot dog eating contests. We also talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show. We talk a lot about the NBA. We talk a lot about scores from hockey and NCAA men's and women's sports. We talk a lot about Major League Baseball. With that being said, our topic for today was NBA Western Conference Finals Game 2. The host of the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks were going to sport they love in front of a global streaming audience. Topics covered but not limited to will be NBA Heat versus Celtics. We talked about that. Lakers versus Nuggets. We talked about a lot about that. Scores and breaking news for the NFL. We don't have any really breaking news for the NFL. They're talking a lot about Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to that in a minute. Major League Baseball, we went over all the scores. Again, my Padres dropped another one today. So yesterday they dropped another one to the Kansas City Royals. That was the second one they dropped this week. And we already NCAA men's and women's baseball or softball. I didn't go through all the matchups. I did that yesterday. You can go to different platforms to find out what's going on in these super regionals for baseball and softball for the men's and women, because I went over all those yesterday, and it's a lot of matchups. Kind of saddened to see that they didn't have my a lot of HBCU teams. A few historical black colleges and universities, HBCUs, I didn't see any in the men's super regional. However, I was doing a little bit of investigating, and I saw that the black colleges are doing some kind of tournament, I believe, between Division II and NAIA schools, Division II, III, and NAIA schools at the black college level. They got something going on, but as far as the men's, Division One for the super regionals for baseball, college baseball, I didn't see anything. So I got to do some investigating. I think I'm going to call my good friend Mike McGinnis and find out from him what's going on with that, because he does a lot with college baseball. And if you're out there listening and you're a baseball player, college baseball player, no more than 2 years removed from your last college game, and you're still trying to play somewhere, to get some film and get some get evaluated, you know, definitely hit me up on Twitter at Ferrand Sports. That's at capital Ferrand at Ferrand, capital Sports Sports at Ferrand Sports on Twitter. Or you can text me at 619-655-1581. Definitely text me before you call so I can know what you're calling about. But speaking of free agency and everything, like I was saying earlier about pro developmental or minor league football, if you're a guy that's no more than 2 years removed from your last college contest, give me a, you know, definitely reach out to me on Twitter at Ferrand Sports again, or text me 619-655-1581 and let me know that you're still trying to play ball and you're willing to take my Prove It system seriously. My Prove It system is where I take your film and resume and send it out to different teams in the Indoor Football League, National Arena League, Champions Indoor Football League, and I send it out. And here currently I got a profile set up on Euro players now. I probably built my agent profile there. So once I start making some contacts with some coaches and everything over there, I'll have another network overseas if you choose to go overseas and get some film and try to experience another culture while you're playing American football and helping to grow the game overseas. So that option will be available here in the next couple weeks, or next couple weeks to next couple months. Within the next 90 days, I should have that program set up how I want to have my own opportunities for you overseas. But I also have a connect right now, my good friend Daryl Tate. He runs a company over there called Pro Hunt, where he takes American players, evaluates them, and gets them on teams over at some level over there in Europe so they can get some film down and experience another culture as well. Got a guy that I was managing, Charles Westbrook. He went over there, and he ain't came back yet. So I guess it's a great – he went over there. He's told me he's going to take his wife over there and marry her in Germany. I think he did that. I don't know if his whole family is living over there in the off season, but I know during the season he goes back over there and he's playing and he's doing well over there playing over there. So he's living out his football dream, which is a good thing. He's living out his football dream and growing the sport of American football. I just kind of wish there was more opportunities for guys like him, that the NFL would look at these guys and say, hey, man, you know, they're ambassadors of the sport, and give them an opportunity to do that international combine. Would it help these guys? I don't know, because I'm kind of getting to the point to where it's like, for whatever reason, when you don't get to that level coming out of college, it's some kind of reason behind it. And, you know, we might look at these reasons saying, oh, it just wasn't a big deal. It was just you know, they being too critical. But when you're talking about paying guys millions and millions of dollars, it's just one of those things. If you just make one wrong turn, one slip up, you may not get that opportunity again. And that's why I tell guys now, if you're at a Division II or below, you need to be trying to get in a Division I program. I don't care if it's just an FCS program. You need to try to get yourself as close to that bag of money as possible. And the way to do that is have Division I on your resume. Division II and below on your resume, a lot of times, is just going to make people overlook you. Why that is, I don't know. I just look at it if a player has dog. If he has dog in him, he has talent, he has dog in him, and he's a hard worker. That's what I look at. Of course, you got to have talent. You got to have talent at every level. You got to have talent in the NAIA. You got to have talent in the UCS, USCAA. You got to have talent in the Division III. You got to have talent in Division II. You got to have talent. Speaking of Division III, I got a guy, Big Jacob AU. He played in Fan Controlled Football last year. This year, he moved over. Made a lateral move to the IFL, and he came out of Division III at Amherst, and we're trying to get him to the XFL or the USFL. XFL is over with this year, but maybe next year he'll get an opportunity after he do a workout after the season is over with in the summertime. And then and at the same time, his name has been passed around to my contacts for the USFL. So we'll get some film on him and try to see if we can move him around Big Jacob AU, offensive lineman, currently playing for the Tucson Sugar Skulls. So big shout out to Jacob AU out there. I'm wishing him luck. Then I got my guy Nate Breeson. He came out of Division II Stonehill College, and he's currently playing. He's running leading that second unit out there in Northern Arizona for the Northern Arizona Wranglers, also of the IFL, which are the reigning IFL champions, and I think they're right now still in one of the top two teams in that league. But my guy from Stonehill College, Nate Breeson, Big Nate Breeson, he's out there playing defensive lineman, defensive end. And so I'm trying to see how things are going to turn out for him. He's currently, like I said, leading that second unit out there. He hadn't quite made it up to the first unit because their defense is so good, and those guys were champions last year. So I'm quite sure that the coaches out there, my good friend Coach Moss, Coach Les Moss out there, Arena One legend, AFL legend, I'm quite sure he's evaluating all those guys and all those guys that came back from last year that were champions with him. He's probably got them starting. And like I told my man Nate, I said, hey, man, you got to grind it out. You just got to grind it out. The thing about it is that, a lot of people don't understand. A lot of these players don't understand that when you go to the IFL, NAL, and I have a lot of teams that win championships, even with the Salina Liberty and the champions in the football league. I send film out all the time. And, you know, you might be thinking that, hey, I'm great, I'm good. But when I send film out or you get make it through camp and you're not starting, sometimes people get turned down when I send that film out. They'll say, he's not good enough. We already got players that look like him, or we got players that's better than that. And they don't get an opportunity sometimes. Then you got guys that'll go to camp, and then they'll make it through camp, and then they don't start. And then they're, like, trying to get playing time. Why is that? Because this ain't college. This is pro football. This is still pro football. You got to understand these teams in the IFL and the NL, they came, they're just teams that came from Arena One. The only thing that changed from the team concept is the money part of it, and some of the players that didn't want to play for what the union requires you to get paid, which is about $250 a game with housing and meals. Some of those type of players that were getting paid more when these teams were in the AFL Arena One, they might have quit, but the coach, but the general managers, the coaching staff putting together pretty much is the same product that was on Arena One. And so when you get guys that came from these small schools, Division II, III, NAIA, you get these guys coming from these programs, and then they get out there, to these different teams, and they're like, man, why am I not starting? Well, I'm telling you why you're not starting. You got to understand that these teams came from Arena One. These managers and general managers, a lot of them just basically, they dropped down to another league. However, we got Arena One football coming back. It should be coming back in 2024. I've already started reaching out to the front office to try to get some of my players evaluated and stuff like that, and also to get me an opportunity as well as a personnel assistant in the front office for the league or a team. But the point, going back to the point I'm making, is that for these football free agents that came from these small schools, when you go to an IFL or NFL team, IFL, Indoor Football League, NAL, National Arena League team, when you go to these teams, don't think you're just going to show up and start because it ain't the NFL or it ain't the CFL or it ain't the XFL or the USFL. Don't think you're going to go to these teams and start, because it's guys trying to get back to the NFL, to Arena One when they come back to the XFL, back to the USFL. Guys are trying to get back to that level. And so when you come there as a rookie and you're playing in the Indoor Football League or National Arena League, however you look at it, don't think that you're going to just come out there and start, because it's some good players in those leagues that just like you, that just didn't get a shot. And usually if it's a championship team or a playoff team, a team that had the number one defense, team that had the number one offense, those coaches are going to start the people that they're comfortable with starting. So, like, I'm going back to my man, Nate Bresson. I just told him, man, just grind it out. Just grind it out, man, because at the end of the day, you know, even if you don't start a game this season, you'll be able to come back next season and compete again for a starting position, and you'll have more value. You'll have more value for that particular team and more value to be traded or more value to go to another team, because you made it through camp, made it through a season, and you're playing on the championship squad. So if I'm going to be sitting on the bench for any team, and then if we're a champion and I got a chance to put championship on my resume and get championship coaching, that ain't a bad thing either, even at that level. I tell guys all the time, sometimes you got to wait your turn. You got a lot of vets in those leagues that, you know, that I feel like after 3 years they should retire. But sometimes, you know, guys just love football. They got good jobs in the area, and they're like, yeah, but I still want to play. I still want to achieve, you know, get as much out of football as I can get. And, you know, to be honest with you, the pro developmental football route, it affords you to, just like in the military, you move cross country, move to another city, another state, get out there, you meet friends, you know, and everything like that, and then you find you a job. A lot of these guys go out, a lot of them got degrees, they graduated college, so they wind up teaching, whether they teach as a substitute, start coaching at the junior high school level, junior college level, they start coaching, they start teaching. One of my guys is a math teacher. He's not currently playing, but he played two seasons, which is what I recommend. If you play two seasons and you don't get a call up, you know, your third season is like your conciliatory season, meaning like that's just, you know, I cherry on top of the cake, and then it's time for you to move on into corporate America. So he played his 2 years. That's what I try to get everybody to do, play at least 2 years at the pro indoor football league level. And he done that, and now he's teaching in Oklahoma City. He has a training, he does a training camp and everything for youth and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, he's, you know, him leaving college and where he was living at, he's from Texas, from Dallas. went to Arkansas Monticello. Ivan King, he went to Arkansas Monticello, however they say it, or Monticello, however they say it. But Division II player, cornerback, strong safety. I got him an opportunity for the who was that? They were the Oklahoma Aces. The Oklahoma Aces. Then they changed their name to the Dodge City Law. And he was he did his 2 years for both of those organizations. I also got invited up to work out with the Albany Empire in their championship year when they was in Arena One, when they were AFL One. They won the last championship on TV. And he got an opportunity to go up there and work out with them, do a 3-day trial waiver. But he had he injured his knee. Then he had a torn meniscus, and so he had to rehab that. But he healed up, came back strong, and played for the same organization up under another name in another city, the Dodge City Law. Played up under them, and he got his professional football fix. And so I just tell guys, you know, if you're not done, even though the NFL didn't call you, you still can have a great career and something to put on your resume. Because if I'm a principal at a high school or a principal at or president of a junior college or let's say AD, athletic director at a high school, athletic director at a junior college, athletic director at a college, you know, whether it's D3, D2 or whatever, if you got pro experience on your resume, I'm assuming you'll get on the staff quicker than somebody that don't have pro experience on their resume. That's just the way I look at it. You know, if I'm hiring, I'm going to hire a guy that got pro experience. I don't care if you went to, like I use Isaac, you know, Ivan King. I use Ivan King's name. He went to Arkansas Monticello Division II, and he played 2 years pro at some level. Moving that out of the way, you got a guy that might have went to Alabama D1, but didn't get drafted, didn't get into a camp, but he only played B1 FBS, but no pro experience. I'm taking the guy that got the pro experience, because education is education. I'm taking the guy with the pro experience. Both of you guys got college experience. Now, don't get me wrong. His college experience and the coaching level might have been great when you compare college to college, but you didn't play pro. You didn't play pro, and I'm going to hire a guy that played pro at some level, whether it was overseas, whether it was over here. Pro means a lot on your resume versus, well, I was a college player and I'm trying to get a job on your staff. Nah, I think I'm going to always go with the guy that plays pro. Now, if you ain't got pro on your resume, then I'm going with the FBS D1 guy, because he's going to have that coaching from a big school. But like I said, I respect when a guy says I'm going to go further my professional career, even though it's not in the NFL. Because a lot of guys are just like, well, if it ain't the NFL, I ain't playing. Well, I don't think you should have an attitude like that. My dad used to call that a piss poor attitude. I don't think you should have a piss poor attitude comes down to your sports career. Why have a piss poor attitude about playing when somebody's giving you an opportunity? And that's what I hate, and I deal with this a lot. You know, guys saying, well, I'm going to just wait and wait till next year when you can already be playing somewhere. I just try to get you on the field as fast as you can so you don't lose your edge. Because to me, sitting at home training, I mean, that's great. You know, you'll stay in shape. But, I mean, what about your edge? That's like me. I used to box. You know, me saying I'm training every day. I'm going to the gym, and I'm just basically hitting the mitts, hitting the bag, but I'm not doing any sparring. That ain't going to work, even if I'm doing some sparring. But I never get a fight. I'm never available to take a fight because that's, you know, whether I got a job or whatever, I don't want to do the real journeyman route. And like, you know, working and then taking fights every couple weeks. If you start to lose your edge. So I try to tell guys in sports, you need to be playing. whether it's basketball, football, baseball, be it man or woman, you need to be actively playing at whatever level you're at. But let's face it, a lot of times these athletes, well, if it ain't the NFL, I don't want to waste my time. And I mainly get that with a lot of offensive linemen coming out of whatever level of college. Offensive linemen are some of the hardest players to recruit to play for some of these pro developmental teams because they felt like, well, you know, I don't want to stay in shape or keep my diet at a certain level so I can maintain my quickness and my power. I don't want to deal with all that if it ain't the NFL having me do it. But my thing is, how do you get to the NFL if you don't take the necessary steps to get there? How do you get there? How do you get to the National Football League if you're not willing to take the steps to keep putting film down and getting better to get there? Because obviously, if you went to a small school, you were definitely going to be overlooked unless you know the right people or some alumni that's affiliated with a NFL team goes back and says, hey, I remember how hard it was for to get from a D3 to this level, so I'm going to go back and try to help some of those guys. Some people got good hearts, and they'll come back and help. So I'm not saying that D3, D2, NAIA players don't make it. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that in most cases, you don't. It's an exception to every rule. In most cases, you don't make it, though. So I try to encourage guys to keep playing ball. But anyway, that's enough about my free agent spiel, because truthfully, that's one reason why I kind of like got away from doing my show, because I was giving out so many free tips of knowledge like I'm giving out now, and people, they don't take it seriously. I mean, it's people that unfollow me on my Twitter page. They unfollow me because I'm telling them this stuff, what I'm saying, not telling them the truth. I'm telling them you may have to take certain steps to get where you're trying to go. And guys just feel like, well, I don't want to go the long route. I don't want to take the long route. I'm going to just sit back and try to wait for my phone to ring. But I'm trying to tell you guys, the phone just doesn't ring like that. Phone is just not going to just be like, ring, 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 ring. Hey, you want to come to camp? It doesn't go like that. Usually right after the draft, you hadn't got called in within a week of the last man getting called for the draft. In most cases, you're probably not going to get that call. I'm not saying it don't happen, because here lately I've seen a couple guys been still getting called in for to do the rookie minicamp workout and whatnot, so that they're still, you know, people are still making phone calls. But why bank on that? I mean, I would rather you be waiting on a phone call and playing at the same time. So when they call you and they say, well, what are you doing? Would you like to come to camp? What are you doing right now? You in shape? Yeah, I'm in shape because I've been playing football. I've been playing football, you know. I got a couple, got some game film on tape or whatever. And now you got more to put on the table for them to evaluate. You might not do great up in the rookie minicamp, but when you give them that tape and they see what you did in live action against some guys that played pro and that they may even know of from college or from pro. They got cut from the NFL or the CFL. If you're doing good on tape against them guys versus just what you're doing, wearing a helmet, jersey, and some shorts, that might help you get invited to the main camp, or at least get another workout, or get recommended to go to another workout with another team. So all I'm saying is, anytime I do anything, I'm covering all my bases. I'm taking every opportunity that comes my way. I have to take every opportunity that comes my way, because it's that opportunity that you shrug that may be the opportunity that was going to get you there. Life is unfair, people. Life is unfair. I'm here to tell you the truth. Life is hard. Life is hard. Life is unfair. And tennis, they're saying Nadal is to miss the French Open. He's talking retirement, that he has a hip injury. Rafael Nadal, he's going to be missing the French Open, talking about retiring. I think he'll be all right. I think he made a whole lot of money in his career. He's one of the great ones. He's one of the gods in the game in tennis, right along with Serena Williams, Venus Williams, and whatnot, all those legends. He as far as tennis, he's been God right there with Djokovic. But good luck to Rafi Nadal. The other today we got the PGA golf tournament going on too. That's on the monitor as well. John Rahm, they, I guess they're expecting him to win the whole thing. So we'll see what happens. I don't think Tiger's playing. I don't know if Phil is playing. Phil Mickelson, San Diego's on Phil Mickelson. I don't know if he's playing in this tournament either, but I do know they have a major golf tournament going on. Just throwing out some love to everybody, you know, as much as I can when I see stuff on the monitor. Of course, we know tonight we're going to have the Lakers and the Nuggets Western Conference Final Game 2. And I'm quite sure LeBron James and AD, they're out for blood because they almost won that game the other night. And, you know, they're saying when you play in Mile High, whether you're playing the Denver Broncos at Mile High Stadium or whether you're playing at the Ball Arena, in, if I'm correct, the Ball Arena against the Denver Nuggets, they're saying that air up there is thin. They say the first 5 minutes of play, your lungs are burning till your body adjusts to it. And you have to break those guys a certain amount of time because that high altitude, that thin air, you know, it limits your oxygen. I think the Lakers recovered from that after the first 5 minutes very quickly, though, because they almost beat the Denver Nuggets. They almost beat them. That's a fact. So, yeah. And then last night we had Jimmy Butler lead his team to victory over the Boston Celtics over Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Jimmy Butler, he stepped up, did his thing. I think I saw Kyle Lowry. He had some of his moments. He shot pretty well last night, if I'm correct, because I did see the game. But you know me, I'm, if anybody knows me, I'm multitask. So I'm watching the game, but I'm also checking my Twitter, checking my emails, checking on my other businesses. So it's like I'm not just watching the game. I'm watching it, but I'm not just watching it with focus. I'm back and forth on it. And I could be sitting right in front of the TV. But you know, when you're in business, you got to be like that. You got to be seeking opportunities, looking for opportunities, and trying to entertain yourself with these sports at the same time. But, yeah, I went to a national, name, image, and likeness conference about a week ago. I was in the name, image, and likeness conference with Exalt Sports. And they were formerly Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, but now they're going by, if I'm correct, Exalt Sports, E-X-U-L-T, Exalt Sports. And I was doing my name, image, and likeness seminar. I like to stay up on stuff like that because next year I'm going to be doing D1 FCS Sports. I'm no longer going to be – I'll still deal with players as they call me from NAIA D3D2. I'll still help you if you call me, but I won't be reaching out to any more small school kids. They're going to have to be a FCS at the FCS level, at the playoff level. So I'm going to be reaching out to the players that make the playoff NCAA football playoff tournament, the bracket. I'm going to be working the bracket for football next year for the FCS, and also bracket for basketball and baseball, all FCS schools. I'll be working the brackets for those schools, and I'm trying to see who I can assist in getting up to the next level. So at that point, if people don't want to pay for my service, that's fine because, I see where FCS Division I athletes, they can say, well, we already have agents at our school that our coach recommends us to, the friends of the program or whatever. We already have that system. So if they say they don't want to work with me, at least I understand why. But when you're getting told, no, I don't want to work with you by kids from D2 and below because they don't want to pay the service fee, which my service fees are posted on my page at Ferran Sports. And you can go there. It's pinned to the top of my page how much I cost to for to use my Prove It system to use the service and to also to get consultation. And the good thing about my consultation, I added back to your fee if you decide to come on for full management. I used to do the quick distribution service. I got away from that, where I would take your film and resume and send it out to a select few teams, but I wouldn't do any management and follow-ups unless somebody called me about you. So that's why I got rid of that program, because people were complaining that $100 was too much. Can you imagine that, $100, and I'm getting all these players, getting most of my players on teams? But I started charging what I'm supposed to charge, because this is a business. It's not a charity. And business is business. There's no business if money don't exchange hands. So what I did was I just started charging what I'm supposed to charge, and then people really, you know, athletes really got upset, because they felt like, well, why should I have to pay you anything? Well, you should have to pay me anything because I'm an expert at what I do. I'm a subject matter expert at what I do. I got the resume to prove it. Then moving from that point, a lot of guys, you know, that taught in college that if you get an agent's supposed to do this. That's true. If you got an NFLPA certified agent, he is supposed to do everything for you for free. But if you can't get an NFLPA certified agent to give it to you for free because you're not right exactly NFL caliber material, then you need somebody like me, which is a sports career manager / agent at the pro developmental minor league level, meaning I'm not affiliated with the NFL at all. And I don't want to be affiliated as far as the NFLPA goes and joining the union. I don't want to join a union because the union can tell you how you work, how much money you can make, what you can do, what you can't do. I don't want to be a part of a union. And I noticed the same thing in the NIL seminar is that a lot of the colleges were still trying to do that. Well, you got to register with the school. You got to go to the state and find out what's the legal requirement in the state to contact athletes. Well, I get around all that stuff by going to your parents. If it's an opportunity for a college kid to make money, I go to that kid's parent and make that deal with the kid's parent and say, you make your son or daughter available to me that away. That means, like, that young man and his parent signed on and said, I want to work with Mr. Ferran on this endorsement deal for this shoe or this soda or this regional clothing line or whatever, so I can make me some money. I'm not registered with anybody. That's a fact. And I'm saying, and these are all recorded episodes, it's not the fact we're trying to disrespect the law. It's the fact that I don't like regulation when I'm going to just go to the kid's parent, because the kid's parent is still responsible for these kids while they're in college. They're still responsible for them to a degree. I won't say legally responsible, but morally responsible. So it's like if they find that the parent want to sign a deal with me and make their son or daughter available to do a name, image, and likeness deal, that's between me and the parent, then the parent and the kid. So that's how I do that. I'm not going paying all this money and doing all this stuff because I talk to the kid's parents. Me and the kid's parents make money. They make the deal. They got it to the point now to where when people start approaching high school kids, they're trying to say, okay, well, you got to register with the state. Now, why should I when the kid got parents? Especially at the high school level, the parent is still responsible for the child. The parent is still responsible for the child. What am I making a deal with the state for? That's them people kids. If they want to make money, they come through me. Simple as that. Then at the same time, when they go to college, still got a moral responsibility for you if you came from the right type of home. Now, I know some college kids out there doing things on their own, and that's however you deal with them, that's you. I try to deal with families that got a two-parent home, mainly, but I also do single-parent homes for whatever reason. Sometimes you have to do it that way as well. But I go through the parent. Two-parent homes for me is great because I got two people I can work with. One-parent home, if I have to go that way, I'll go that way because, unfortunately, some people are going to be in one-parent households. It's just the way it is. But, no, I'm not doing any registering with the state about, you know, making no money and everything like that for my company. But with that being said, you know, going back in the free agents, football free agency, which is my specialty right now, football free agents. I do basketball and baseball too, but football is my specialty because it gives you more opportunity, because it's a 53-man roster versus a 15-man roster, a 23-man roster, 25-man roster, what have you. It's the more opportunity in football. But I'll be working with all Division I FCS teams that's going to play next year in the NCAA bracket. I'll reach out to those teams before the draft starts. And maybe I'll have more athletes that have some draft stock. I think I've earned my stripes at the Division II and below level, because I work with a lot of those teams, and a lot of HBCU FCS programs. But you know, it's when people don't see your value, you have to go ahead and move on and move up. So that's what I'm doing. I'm just going to be working playoff brackets, meaning I'm moving on and moving up, promoting myself to that level. I can promote myself because this is my company. I'm promoting myself up to the FCS level versus the small school level. It's time. So I'm going to be going up there, meeting coaches, meeting players' parents, and trying to offer them my service just in case they need help getting drafted or getting into an NFL camp, or if none of that works out, getting on a pro developmental football team to help them get some stuff on tape so they can start working their way up to the XFL and the USFL. So that's how they go. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of teams want to start out with. They want to start out with these D1 athletes. Not saying that it ain't just as much talent in the D2 and below level, because it is. It's just as much talent down there. But it just the way the product is set up, the prototypical resume got to be starting off, they want to see D1. Then you start talking about prototype in size. So they want prototype in team, meaning D1 teams, prototype in size, meaning however tall, however much you weigh, and how much you run on your 40, how much can you bench press. All these stuff are these cookie-cutter prototypical number systems and statistics. They want to sign a prototype. Everybody wants their team to look like the NFL, even if they're not the NFL. The NFL is already doing it because they have the money to do that. But even at the pro developmental minor league levels, these teams want their team to emulate NFL. Why is that? I don't know. It's not my business. I'm not the owner. I'm not the commissioners. I'm not the coaches. All I do is try to provide opportunities and build relationships through networking to get guys opportunities and to get the coaches the best players that's available. A lot of times I got guys that's dogs. They might be too short, but they're dogs. They might be a little bit lighter, but they're dogs. You know, they might be a 40 time, might not have the fastest 40 time, but in game action, they're a beast. But everybody has their cutting stick. Excuse me. Everybody has their reason why they don't want to sign a player for whatever reason. And I tell my guys all the time, when it comes down to paying somebody, I don't care if you're getting paid $100 a game, $225 a game. They want to pay the person, the best available person that meets certain criteria to make that check. Whether you're making, again, $100, $225 a game, or whether you're making a couple hundred thousand a game, they're going to find the best player to pay. And unfortunately, that's the way it is. You got all these leagues, they want to hit certain criteria on each player. I got a guy right now that I feel like the reason he's not getting signed is because he wants to play defensive end, and he's only 5'11", or right at 6 feet, whichever one, but they want somebody that's 6'3", 6'2", or 6'3", 9 times out of 10. Because he's 5'11", they don't want to sign him. So he has to wind up going playing overseas. My man Pat Isbell, He went to Hub Camp, got a great write-up from Sports Illustrated Draft Bible, got a great write-up from them. And I got another guy that worked with me, Austin Irwin. He did a scouting report on him. There was a great scouting report as well. And it's just the fact that people want to always look at, for him, it's just his height. You know, I feel like that's what it is. You know, they don't want to sign him over here in the Indoor Football League or National Arena League because he's not 6'3" or above, okay? But in Hub Camp, he was whipping on those guys that were 6'3" or above. That's why he got a great write-up, because he was whipping them guys. You know, they ain't have pads on. They was contact, and he was whipping those guys. And if they had pads on, he didn't really whip them. But, you know, he's going over there to Finland to play for the Tampere Saints over in Finland for the it's not GFL, but it's Division I Euro League. He's going over there and playing. And I reached out to one of my contacts I mentioned earlier and asked him what's the level of play over there. He says a decent level of play. So that's a good thing, because he'll be playing competitive football over there. Some of these leagues, they don't allow one American on the field at a time. And so they got certain rules, because our guys going over there obviously are ambassadors of the game. They're playing, but they're helping teaching the game, because some of these guys over there never played organized football. They're interested in it. They're trying to learn how to play. So it depends on what league you're playing in. Some leagues are a little more competitive than others. Nevertheless, competition, in my opinion, is competition. If a man get in front of you, your job is to dominate that man. But when you can prove it here and there, there's no question. And my guy, Pat Isbell, has proven it over here at certain leagues and in college, junior college, and at the pro arena level. He's also in the American West Football Conference. That's another division of pro football. The man's proven that he could play, but when it comes down to getting to the higher level arena indoor teams, they're like, nah, he's too short. So, you know, he's doing what he got to do. And sometimes you got to go where they want you. Go where they want you, get it on tape, keep proving it. And my thing is, they never pick you up. If the NFL never comes calling, USFL never comes calling, Indoor Football League, National Arena League never comes calling, as long as you proved it to yourself, it's on tape. I know I can do it. They just didn't want to give me the opportunity. And that's fine. That's fine. But I'll say good luck again to Pat Isbell on signing that deal to go play over in Europe again, because this is his second time going to Europe to play. With that being said, I want to encourage everybody to be light, not darkness, be love, not hate. Pray for peace around the world. Pray that all these mass shootings stop. Pray for our legislature that they fix this gun control stuff when it comes down to people that have mental health issues don't receive a gun, and that we figure out a way to identify if somebody got a mental health issue before we allow them to walk around with an AK or an assault rifle, however you want to say it. So, let's pray for that. Let's pray for that this war in Ukraine stops. Let's pray that if they're still fighting over in Palestine, that stops. If they're still fighting over in Uganda or Sudan, wherever it was over in Africa where they were recently fighting, and we had to evacuate all these American citizens to the embassy and get them from the embassy to wherever they were going. Let's pray that the fighting over there stops in Africa. And let's just pray for peace around the world, people. Pray for peace around the world. Remember, I think we're tailing off on flu season, but if you haven't got your flu vaccination, ask your doctor if it's still recommended to get it. Make sure you get your COVID booster. If you haven't got a COVID-19 booster in about 2 years, you might need to go check up on that and see if you need to get it. Inquire from your doctor about this mpox or monkeypox stuff. Watch your contact. Shaking people's hands and all this stuff. Make sure you put your hand sanitizer on and stuff like that, so you can combat that type of stuff. Wear a mask in crowded spaces, like on public transportation, because sometimes I ride public transportation depending on if I feel like driving my car or not. because you got people on there still coughing, hacking, or whatever. Not knocking them, because sometimes I have to cough. But it's just the fact that we're all coughing and hacking, and it's still an enclosed capsule on a bus or a subway or whatever. Just make sure you have a mask handy in case you deem somebody to be sick. Just, you know, put your mask on. And people, if somebody put that mask on after you start coughing and sneezing, don't get offended, because at the end of the day, people are just trying to stay alive. Trust me, I know about trying to stay alive. I lost my sister a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago, due to COVID-19, back in 2021. And so I lost my sister due to that disease. It affected my family. So I'm not upset if I cough or sneeze somewhere and somebody put their mask on. I'm not going to get offended, because that's what they should do. Even though if they got the booster, that's what they should do. With that being said, people, we're going to go ahead on and we're going to go ahead and set black and fade all on this episode. And this is my Friday. Like I said, we'll be back on Monday. Stogies and Beers back to its regular time of Monday through Thursday, most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That translates for Eastern Time to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And if you'd like to call into the show and debate the host, be a sports contributor or whatever, call in area code 515-602-9687, and we'll get you on here. Today's topic was NBA Western Conference Finals, Game 2. We had a great show today. We covered NBA predictions and scores from last night. And, again, we got the Lakers and the Nuggets, big one tonight. Now, when we come back Monday, I think we'll probably be to play two games after this show, and we'll get all caught up on Monday. So with that being said, everybody, I want everybody to have a great weekend. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you back here on Monday. Thanks for tuning in and streaming. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Set black, fade off.